keep it 100 every day.
Shot. Need the facts and stats. Who do you call? Bringing the fire, bringing the heat, we bring it to y'all. Calling for Frank, you calling for D, you calling for ball. Call for them all. Look how they ball, documented, proving the score. No matter the topic of conversation, call up. You gotta be patient. The love is embracing. Don't deal with the hate. Don't know what you facing. Every Monday, 11 to 1, we'll be there if you patiently waiting.
Bring the heat, bring the heat, bring the fire,
bring the fire.
Keep it 100 every day.
People, what it do, what it do, what it do. It is your boy, Sports Rap CEO, in the building. My guy, Julio Cintron, thanks for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. See you in a little bit. Hey, my guy, time. Long time no hear from, man. Good to see you. Thanks for tuning in. Be waving both of you guys like I always do each and every morning. Yeah. Good morning, good morning, good morning, folks. You know where I'm at. Sports Rap Podcast LLC. We are definitely going to talk some Super Bowl today. Some other stuff sprinkled in. And, of course, we are going to talk a little bit of Sixers talk. We know how things went at the trade deadline. And I know how some people are feeling about that. So I'm going to try and smooth some things over for you. Let's see, I got two people on Facebook with me this morning. I know you know who you are. I don't know who you are, but, you know, give me a quick shout out. Let me know who you are. As always, folks, you know what we do here each and every Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I give you some scores and stuff from the past weekend and give you some news and some updates and all that other kind of jazz like we always do. But, of course, big Monday today. It is the Monday after the Super Bowl. First time in 20 years, I think they said 20 years, that it has been since a team has repeated as the Super Bowl champion. There were some new rules in place as far as overtime rules for the Super Bowl yesterday. What else were there? Us, the halftime show. We're going to talk a little bit about the halftime show. We're going to mix that into the sports show today because it is incorporated and intertwined in with the Super Bowl. We're also going to talk the commercials. I'm anxious to see how you felt about the commercials. Usually during the Super Bowl, that's one of the things that you look forward to. So, like, a lot of times, because of the streaming services and all this type of jazz, you know, people have advantages where they don't actually have to watch advertisements when they're watching TV. They can just watch their shows. Larry Simmons, good morning, good morning. So they can just watch, you know, their shows without interruptions, right? So you look forward to the commercials sometimes. You're thinking, like, anxiously sometimes, like, wait. All right, it's a timeout in the game. All right, let's see. It's a commercial coming up. What's it going to be? Who's it going to be? They didn't get me like that yesterday. Honestly, I can't even tell you if I remember two good commercials from yesterday. I can't really tell you if I do remember two good commercials from yesterday. So it's tough. Hopefully some people that have chimed in and tuned in to help me out. Like I said, I got two people on Facebook. I just had three, but I got two there now, and I don't know who you are. So let me know who you are. Just type back in real quick and say, this is so-and-so, I'm so-and-so, whoever. I think I have a pretty good idea who they are, but I want to be sure. I want to be certain. So, you know, folks, let me know who you are, and I will give you, you know, your proper shout-outs like I always do. So, again, getting back to the commercials, like, it wasn't the excitement that has been in the past about the commercials. Like, you sometimes get previews the week before the Super Bowl, like leading into the Super Bowl Sunday. Sometimes, or that weekend, sometimes you start to get hints of some commercials and things of that nature. Like, wasn't really that much hype around the commercials really at all, in my opinion, if you think about it. And it's just weird in a way, because, you know, there are people that look forward to just the commercials. Like, they really don't have any stake in the game or anything. They look forward to the commercials, to be entertained there. The commercials and the halftime performer and the halftime show is what a lot of people look forward to, as opposed to the game. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the game. We'll talk about that continuously all throughout the day. So let's get to it. Got some NBA scores from yesterday. Coach Rich, thank you for tuning in. Appreciate the support, the continued support, good brother. NBA yesterday, Celtics Heat. Celtics take that game 110-106. The Kings and the Thunder take that at home 127-113. In NCAA basketball, men's top 25, Florida Atlantic versus Wichita State. Florida Atlantic is ranked number 20. Number 20 holds on in overtime and takes that game 95-82. In the women's top 25, number 15, Louisville faced off against 23, Syracuse in a barn burner, edging out number 15. Syracuse takes that game 73-72. Number 12, Notre Dame faced off against Florida State in double overtime. Notre Dame hangs on 98-94. Number 3, NC State versus Pitt, shellacking there. NC State takes that 83-47. Number 2, Iowa versus Nebraska. Nebraska holds on for the upset, 82-79. Boston College went down to VA to take on Virginia Tech. Number 16, Virginia Tech holds on 74-63. Purdue versus number 15, Indiana. Indiana holds on 95-62. Number 11, UConn goes up against Dawn Staley and the number one ranked South Carolina Lady Gamecocks. The Lady Gamecocks hold on, remain undefeated, 83-65. Oregon State versus number 4, Colorado. Oregon State gets the upset. I'm sorry, Oregon State number 17 against number 4, Colorado. Still, Oregon State gets the upset, 65-59. Oregon versus number 20, Utah. Utah holds on, 70-48. Arizona State versus number 9, UCLA. UCLA, 78. Arizona State, 45. Number 5, Ohio State, 86. Michigan State, 71. Alabama was in the Bayou, taking on LSU, number 13 ranked LSU. LSU takes that 85-66. Stanford, number 6 at Washington State. Stanford holds on 73-58. In the NHL yesterday, the Blues and the Canadiens. The Blues take that 7-2. And in an overtime thriller, 1 point margin, Canucks take it to Capitals 3-2 in overtime. And yesterday, in the Super Bowl, 49ers, Chiefs. Chiefs hold on to be the first team to repeat, like we said, in 20 years. They repeat, they take that game 25-22 in overtime. All right? We're going to talk some Super Bowl. We're going to talk Super Bowl in a minute. But let me just give you some news real quick. Some things that I really thought were kind of somewhat interesting. Emmitt Smith has ripped the Cowboys. He said he's tired of them. He feels like Jerry Jones is losing respect, and he feels like players don't want to fight. Spencer Dinwiddie is set to sign with the Lakers after his buyout. Ex-All-Pro Navarro Bowman joins the Chargers staff. Ohio State, why, hires Chip Kelly to replace Bill O'Brien as offensive coordinator. Eagles' Hassan Reddick requests and is granted permission from the Eagles to seek a trade. Hopefully, this can change prior to training camp. Hopefully, the Eagles can talk to Mr. Reddick, bring some things to the forefront, get on, I guess I would say, a level playing field or a more even-keeled playing field with this young man to keep him in an Eagles uniform. Also, the Eagles have given permission for James Bradbury to seek a trade. That one I'm not really concerned about. In a small way, I'm actually kind of anxious to see what happens there. More anxious than I am with the Hassan Reddick. I just hope that something can change in the Hassan Reddick situation where things don't turn out to be where he might have expected them to be as far as trades. Some issues with some contracts, with some monies, and maybe he can come back to the Eagles and work some things out. So we'll see what happens with that. Also, Kyle Lowry has agreed to a $2.8 million deal for the remainder of the season to sign with the Sixers right after his buyout from the Charlotte Hornets, which has been bought out, I think, over the weekend. That has been done. And finally, 49ers players say that they did not know the overtime rules. They were unaware of the new overtime rules. Some things to think about there. As we all know, again, folks, it is Black History Month. Black History for me, 24/7, 365. But in conjunction with Super Bowl being yesterday, Black History Moment for today, Monday, February the 12th. Is it the 12th? Yes, February the 12th, 2024. We recognize Doug Williams, the first African-American quarterback to win a Super Bowl in the NFL. He won Super Bowl 22 as the quarterback of the Washington Redskins and was also named MVP of that game. So, folks, here we are, Monday morning quarterbacks, if you will, Monday morning upset fans, Monday morning happy fans, Monday morning disconcerted fans, Monday morning fans who really don't give a whatever as well. So we all here. All of us have a seat in the room today. All of us. And I know that there will be some 49ers fans that are a little disturbed, a little upset about the situation and the way things played out yesterday. There could also be some realistic fans that look at how the game played out and understand some mistakes that were made, players, coaches as well. Because at this point, nobody's off the hook. Okay. Like that point I just read that the Niners players said that they were not fully aware of the new overtime rules. That's coaching. I mean, you have to say something to that if that's a true fact. I don't know. It's what's being reported. But in just dealing and talking about that statement, I feel like that's a coaching glitch, a coaching issue, if you will. As a coach in arguably the biggest game of your career, in a lot of ways, for a lot of members on your team, and probably mostly all of them, the biggest NFL game of their careers, you don't make them aware prior to of the changes, the rule adjustments of the overtime. Because they didn't go into effect, or they didn't go into play right before kickoff. Every NFL team was notified about these rules changes, because there were rules changes for the regular season and for postseason. So again, as a coach, you kind of have to let your guys know, like, hey, this is what could happen if we end up going into overtime. These are the rules, and this is how it's going to play out. If you don't, you create situations like we have here, where it's being reported that the players are saying that they didn't know or were unaware of the new overtime rules. So if you are unaware of the new overtime rules. It states that each team will have the ball. Each team will have an opportunity to possess the ball, no matter what. So if like it used to be that first team scores a touchdown, then the game is over. If they score a field goal, the other team gets the ball, gets to try and win. All right, this time around, no matter what happens, what score takes place, but that first team that touches the ball, if they score, the other team has a chance to possess the ball and possibly score and tie the game up again or take the lead and win the game. Okay? A change, yes. It's, in my opinion, it's not a huge change, but in defense slightly of the players, that's not something that they really think about going into a game, and let alone this game here, the biggest game of their careers. It's a natural instinct that you don't really worry about overtime until you get to overtime, if it comes to that. When you go into these games, like, you very rarely think about overtime. You think about going out and winning, or something freaky happens or whatever, or you lose. It's how you go into the game. You don't think about, oh, all right, this game might go into overtime. You don't think that deep into the whole grand scheme of things. You don't. You just don't as a player. And for them to say that they were unaware of the new overtime rules, to me, again, and I reiterate it, that's a coach, and I've worn a coach's hat. It's coaching. The coaches have to tell you guys, you have to, and again, like I said, it's not like it was something that just popped up. The rules were adjusted and changed, and every NFL team, I mean, you can look, it's all over social media this morning, Twitter or X, whatever, used to be Twitter, whatever it is, it's all over, where the memo was sent out. It was an official document, an official statement from the NFL in regards to the overtime rules changes. So for you to be a coach and you not to inform your players of that situation makes me wonder where your thought process is in that entire situation. And again, even as a coach, I mentioned as a player side, you don't really expect or think about game going into overtime. You don't think about it like that as a coach. But on the flip side, as a coach, you typically, or you should typically have a contingency plan in the event that the game does in the overtime. And that's just on the coach's side. The player side, I get it. But if that was the case, you had time in between. You guys communicate with each other. You could have assigned someone on that bench with all the staff that we always see up and down the sidelines in NFL games, to at a certain point, if you didn't remember or whatever, if it got too late and you started getting antsy, if it got to a certain point, you could have just had somebody go up and down the sideline and say, listen, these are the new rules for overtime. We might be looking at overtime right now, but these are the new rules. All right, here they are, plain and simple. They've got technology on the field. They've got an iPad. I mean, they could have went and pulled the actual statement up. I'm pretty sure that they probably could have, okay? But if not, somebody up in the booth could have pulled it up and told, yo, listen, make sure you let the guys know, yada, yada, yada. All right? So, again, I feel like that's a coaching issue. It's something that the coaches should have had in place, should have already alerted the team of. And again, like I said, the worst case scenario, you tell them before you go into, you get time. You got to coin toss and everything before you start an overtime. You can go through a team, you can go through things real quick and say, listen, these are the new rules for overtime. This is what we're looking at. And you can break it down and simplify it any way you can to get your point across to your team. Apparently, that didn't happen. Unfortunately, in a bad type, that's part of the game because it happens. It hasn't happened much of this magnitude of a game, but it has happened. Situations have happened similar to this before. All right, so I'm not saying that, I'm not overlooking it, I'm not making light of the situation. It could have been a crucial mistake by the coaching staff. There were some points in the game that, well, actually, for the most part, the game I felt like was pretty boring, if you will. Jay Blake, thanks for tuning in on IG. Appreciate you, man. I feel like the game was drawn out, was boring. At halftime, I think the score was 10-0. So I think if you look back, and someone from this tuned in, if you correct me if I'm wrong, I think there were like a total of maybe 3 touchdowns the entire game. Kind of boring. And then there are some people that are going to say, hey, it was a defensive game. It was a defensive struggle. Somewhat, yes. I can see how people would look at it and say that. I look at things in a little different way. Game really didn't hold my attention a lot. It didn't. It was not what I expected from these two particular threes. Okay, Jay said 10-3 at halftime. Thank you. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not excited. Like I said, because it wasn't what I expected. What I expected from those two teams. You know, and I understand once we get to the playoffs and you move along in the playoff, the last game really doesn't matter much. It's what have you done for me lately, right? I get that. Totally get that. But when we talk about these two teams that actually made it to the Super Bowl, San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs, we can start on the Chiefs side. A little odd season for them, coming off of a Super Bowl win. Kind of shaky season for them. Some uncharted waters for them moving into the playoffs. They had to go on the road in the playoffs this year, which was, like I said, uncharted waters for them. Right prior to that, throughout the season, you could argue and debate that they showed some kinks in the armor. But they pushed through. Like I said, good teams will push through. Good teams with good coaching will push through and find ways to win. And this is what they did. They ended up going back to the Super Bowl. But again, getting to the Super Bowl, I did see somewhat of my expectations in the overtime on that final drive for the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe the last two drives at that. But more so that last drive in overtime that won them the game. It just seemed more Chiefs-like to me than the rest of the entire game did. I knew at that point with the time frame and knowing the new overtime rules that when San Fran kicked that field goal because they stalled out on their drive, that Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Kansas City Chiefs, it's no brainer that they're going to score a touchdown. This is all they're focused on. We're going to go score this touchdown and win this Super Bowl. This is what we're going to do. And that was their focus. Ultimately, they did do it. But again, throughout the game, I didn't feel like I was watching the Kansas City Chiefs play the San Francisco 49ers from what I had seen all throughout the season. Even with the up and down season that the Kansas City Chiefs had, they always showed that mettle when they needed to. They showed that pedigree when they needed to in games. And like I said, pushed themselves for the first time in uncharted waters going on the road through the playoffs and make it to the Super Bowl. Back to back to the Super Bowl. On the other side of the ball, the 49ers. I don't know how some people are going to take this, but I'm going to give it to you this way. Pegged by an enormous amount of media members as a possible juggernaut, as a machine, as a team that looked at times unstoppable. Did not look like that the entire game yesterday. I couldn't believe, really, truly, that I was watching the 49ers, that I had seen some of what everybody had said throughout the season and up until that game. And again, I get it. Playoffs, different animal. But up until yesterday, 49ers went all the way through and people talked about that offense like it was the best thing since sliced bread. And I'm not making light of the offense. I saw it. I witnessed it. I did. I saw it. I'm not saying, oh, it wasn't that. I'm saying I didn't see it perform at that magnitude yesterday like I did throughout the season is all I'm saying. So what went wrong? 49ers side of the ball. Turnover. Penalties. Some coaching errors. And in my opinion, a quarterback that was placed a lot higher than where he should have been at this stage in his career. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he hasn't had two good seasons. Had a really good season last season up until he went to the Eagles, came here and lost in the championship game. Really good. A better season this past season. Ended up making it to the Super Bowl. But again, showed some kinks in that armor. And again, in my opinion, put in a place as far as with the elite quarterbacks in the league, put in a place where I feel is a little bit too early right now to place him in that category with some of those other quarterbacks. I think it's a little bit too early. And I'm not saying that he can't get there. I would never say that about anybody that has a chance. You have a chance, you can get there if you work at it. And I mean, we've seen it. He got better this year. Started out, he started out last year and he took the league by storm. I told a lot of people, the coach helped him along the way, as the coach is supposed to, and made things easy for him to be successful. Got to that point again this year, but he took it a step further. He improved on some things. He did. But again, coaching came into play, and I think coaching glitches are part of the reason that they got the L yesterday and not the W. I'm not saying that's the sole reason, but I think that's part of it. Again, the coach can only put players in positions to succeed or be successful. Players have to execute. There were a lot of penalties yesterday. There were a lot of uncharacteristic activities that I saw from the 49ers and also from Kansas City Chiefs. But it came down to a team and a coaching staff getting the ball in a moment, in a huge moment rather, that was no pressure to them, no sweat. If you think about it, you envision it, or you can later on go back and check it out and look at it on the highlights. That last drive in overtime that ultimately won Kansas City the Super Bowl, Pat Mahomes was as calm as anybody, any quarterback could have been. And you would think in that moment, the game is on the line. I can go and win this game or something happened, we can go tie it up. We don't execute right, tie it up, yada, yada, yada. But their whole thought process, I'm sure, was we're going to go get a touchdown. We're going to win this Super Bowl. We're going to win back-to-back Super Bowl. I think that was their mindset from the time they got the ball. And then it was like it was in overtime. So the time wasn't an issue. And you saw what they did with the time. They used the majority of that time where it would not have been that much of a chance for San Francisco if they had actually ended up kicking a field goal and then San Francisco getting the ball back. But again, like I mentioned, there was no doubt in my mind that Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs were going to look and score a touchdown. The whole thing is a touchdown or nothing. We're not looking to kick a field goal. We're not looking to extend this game any further. We got the ball. They scored. They kicked the field goal. We're going to go down and score. We're going to win this Super Bowl, as I think is what their mindset was. And they went out and executed. You know, they had that one bad play that nobody understood what Valdez-Scantling was doing when he could have just went down and he lost about 5 or 10 yards on that play. But they pushed through. They made the effort and they got through it. They pushed through it. So, let's see. Jay Blake on IG, he says, coaching played a major part. They stopped running the ball. You could see the Chiefs was tired. I do believe getting the ball second in overtime was a plus because it gave them 4 downs. Yeah, I can definitely see all that. That's another thing that I also did notice about the 49ers and their game plan, and it goes back into that tree that I started where I said uncharacteristic activity. They stopped running the ball. You allowed the Chiefs to get themselves together on the field and get back in that game. You gave them opportunities, gave them more opportunities than you should have in that game yesterday. And again, I like Jay said, coaching played a major part. Yeah, coaching played a part in it. Like, you're allegedly touted as one of the greatest minds in football from the family tree that you are. This is not the first time I've talked about just me talked about games where I've seen Kyle Shanahan and I question some of the things that he did in these specific games. Because if you go back to it, you can go back and check my history. I always give credit where credit is due, and I've always said that he was a very good coach. I said that. I said he did the same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo when they got them to the Super Bowl, and then the same thing happened. I just felt like, for the most part, he can handle things, but when it gets to that really big game, and I'm not going to say big game, I'm going to say really big game, because they did what they had to do this year against the Lions and won the NFC Championship game, although it was home, whatever, but they did what they had to do then. But then he gets to the biggest game and you show some kinks in your arm, kind of like the pressure might have gotten to you a little bit. It's just strange to see that kind of thing, like I said, and I understand it, people. It's two different seasons, yes. But when you think about it as a fan, that means that your team is supposed to pick it up more in the playoffs. Let's see. Jay says, the same play the Chiefs won the game this year was the same play the Eagles with. Yeah, they didn't bring that play out all year till now. That's great coaching on the other hand. Absolutely. Absolutely. Where you could argue it was some time trickery, some tomfoolery and some trickery going on. But what and I think one of the commentators said, I don't know if it was, I think it was Nate Burleson, who said it best at one point. Now, when you go into this overtime situation, now you open up the entire playbook. Or he said the second half, he came back, he said the second half, now you open up your entire playbook. There's nothing in there that's off limits when you go into the second half. But the second half is when Super Bowl gets won. So again, like Jay just chimed in and said, the plays that they saw late on that last drive were plays that they probably hadn't run all year, or at worst, all game. So it got the 49ers off balance. They didn't know what to expect. They hadn't seen it before. Again, coaching. This is what coaches do. On the other side, again, you say you have arguably one of the better minds in coaching in football, and that family tree, things didn't play out the same way. It felt like you started second-guessing yourself, and I'm talking about the Kyle Shanahan side and the 49ers side, where you stopped running the ball. Why did you start running the ball? You had the Chiefs in a way where they were tired. Your defense was holding their own, so their breaks in between series were not that long. So even if you drove the ball and you maybe kick a field goal or don't score at all, you've done enough damage to let your defense come out, hold it down for you, get a three and out, and put that other defense right back on the field, still tired. And you do not run the ball. You don't continually run the ball. I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with is he started second-guessing himself and decided to not run the ball. Also, it was put out there several times by Tony Romo as he was commentating that you're playing against arguably the best secondary in the league. So you're going to keep testing these guys? It's like, again, uncharacteristic activity. A lot of it I saw yesterday. I saw a lot of it yesterday. And again, I saw it on both sides. I didn't see it just one side. I saw it on both sides. And again, ultimately, the game got to where it got to. Went into overtime. And the Chiefs prevailed in the end. And again, here is where I say this coaching piece came in. And this is like just goes right in, coincides with what I told you the 49ers players said and what happened on the other side of the ball. 49ers players said they didn't know the complete rules. They were unaware of the new rules changes of the overtime. Okay, fine and well. It's your coach's fault. Your coaches should have made you privy to the new rules changes. Yada, yada, yada. Whatever. Going into overtime, again, this is where you open your entire playbook at. At this point, you have nothing to lose. It's a tie game. Even with the new rules changes, at that point, if I'm a coach and I get the ball first, I'm going with the same mind frame that I felt like the Kansas City Chiefs had when they ultimately got the ball in overtime. That first time I get the ball, I'm going and I'm looking touchdown or bust. Because I know the rules have changed now. So I'm going touchdown or bust, and I'm going to put even more pressure on my opposing team. Because I know they get the ball. But if I go and score a touchdown instead of kicking a field goal, now it's more pressure on them because now they have to come down and score a touchdown or the game is over. If they score a touchdown, we play on a little bit more. If they don't score a touchdown, game's over. So now you put the pressure on them where their mind frame is not, we can possibly get in and maybe. No, it's four downs, start out, and we have to go and score a touchdown. This is where, and that can work even if that other team that gets the ball first, like 49ers, didn't score a touchdown. They scored. So now, again, my mind frame is, I have to go and score a touchdown. It's a touchdown or bust. This is where it has to be. This is what has to take place. So moving along. Okay game. Again, not what I expected from a Super Bowl. I'm actually glad I was not at a Super Bowl party. I'm glad I was home. I stayed home and watched the game at home. Again, like I said, it wasn't really much excitement around the game even. Building up to the game, it wasn't a lot of excitement. And I mean, you could kind of say people here and where people that I'm talking to, my home base, kind of take that for granted because the Eagles were in the Super Bowl last year. So we had a lot to go on. Not a great season, the way the season fell out for the Eagles. So it wasn't a lot of great. But then even overall, there was not a lot of hype around this Super Bowl. I'm just, like I mentioned to you about the commercials. There was not a lot of hype about the commercials. Again, I think I saw maybe two commercials that I liked. Usually you get to see about, you see a bunch of commercials, but you end up with maybe three, four that you really liked, that really caught your attention, that had you talking the next morning. Even the ones that I kind of was like, oh, okay, that was all right, I'm still not talking about them this morning. It is what it is. That's just the way it played out. Finally, the Super Bowl halftime show. Another huge event. Again, some people watch the Super Bowl or tune into the Super Bowl partially just to see what the performance is like. And that's a lot of times, more times than not, it's based on who the actual headline performer is. Usher just finished up a residency, ironically, in Vegas. Super Bowl was in Vegas, so bang, Usher was the halftime talent this year. I saw some things yesterday. I saw some things again this morning, and there are mixed opinions. There are some people who have that performance in their top five of Super Bowl halftime performances. There are people who said it was okay. There are people who thought it was trash. My take, I'm kind of in the middle. And I say that because I feel like the site was focused on more than the talent, if you understand what I mean by that. And what I mean by that is the display, the outfits that Usher wore, the sets and everything, I think were focused on a lot more than the actual talent at the show. We all heard Alicia Keys' voice crack at the beginning of her appearance. She quickly cleaned that up and picked it up. Then there was the talk about that. And it's the ongoing talk about Usher from his, the biggest one was from his residency with Keke Palmer and how that old situation blew into something else. There's been a lot of talk about the Alicia Keys thing and Usher today where it looked like he grabbed her butt, her hind parts rather, and yada, yada, yada. People have been standing up for Alicia and saying, oh, well, whatever he did, whatever, she looked good in that red. And it's been back and forth, up and down, sideways, crisscrossed all across the board. It's been talk everywhere. It's been talk every which way about it. But again, for me, it was what it was. It was a Super Bowl performance. Wasn't the greatest for me. It was okay. And I think for me, it was okay because of the songs, the hits that were performed. And the visual, like I said, the visual. They spent a lot of time on the visuals for last night. A ton on the visuals. So I think the visuals for me were a lot better than the actual showmanship or the actual talent itself. But again, one of those situations where you've got people talking and you got people that are in all three groups. It was good. It was okay. It was bad. You got enough people. And I'm sure a lot of these people will have reasons as to why they feel the way that they felt. And it could be the show, it could be the visual, it could be part of the audio. And I'm just saying this because I saw it. So there are some things that I noticed that had me on the premise of, hey, it was okay. It's like I'm not really, you know, talking about it like that. I mean, I have a job to do this morning, yes, to talk about it. But other than that, it's like it's not something that that I was excited about. I wasn't overly impressed at the end of the performance, about the performance. Again, it's one of those things where, you know, like you say, we have differences of opinions. There are people that, again, that loved it. There are people that didn't like it so much, didn't love it so much. And then there are people that didn't love it at all, or didn't like it at all. And that's going to happen. That's always going to happen, folks. People are going to be who they are. People are going to have their own opinions. You know what they say about opinions too, right? They're like, you know what? Everybody has one. Everybody. So everybody, different people from different walks of life, from different stages of life, are going to formulate their own opinions. And in today's society, where social media is God for a lot of people, things can be said, things can be presented, and they will cause a stir. They will get viral views, all because of social media. So social media for me is like a gift and a curse. I use it for what I'm doing sitting here with you this morning. And that's pretty much the basis of my social media. You know, it started out with the Facebook and everything. And, you know, I had a Facebook personal page. I still have that personal page, but I'm very rarely on that personal page. And any of my social media now, if you follow me, and I know you do, it's mostly 99.99999% the show. That's it. The show, and when I'm out and when I'm doing things. And then the other 1% is the other company. As you see, I'm sporting the Sports Rap Podcast LLC shirt, my own gear, shirts that we make. T-shirt Craig goes to at Making It Yours on Instagram. So that's at MAKING underscore YOURS. I'm sorry, at MAKING underscore IT underscore YOURS underscore. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, tumblers. Get over there, check that page out, and you can get your own sports wrap, or we can do some custom stuff for you. But getting back into it, again, people are going to have opinions. People are going to talk. People are going to be excited about some things. People are not. Again, for me, the whole Super Bowl experience this year was not as hype or as fun as it has been in the past years. You know, a lot of time, and again, I'm sure people will argue, was like, oh, your most recent one prior to this one was the Eagles. You're an Eagles fan, so yada, yada. Yeah, and I get that totally. I get that. Even the year before that, okay, prior Super Bowl, Super Bowls when the Eagles didn't make the Super Bowl, there was a lot more hype in that week leading up to the Super Bowl than there has been, or than there was more so this year. Again, like I mentioned to you, you usually get around that weekend before, you get that, you get a little hints of commercials. We didn't see much of that. Around that weekend, that day of the Super Bowl, that Sunday, when Super Bowl Sunday arrives, you know, you get the whole morning, the whole day of Super Bowl stuff. Like, I didn't watch anything in regards to the Super Bowl until maybe a half hour before the game was supposed to start. I got up early yesterday. I made a post because I'm doing my job. I got up early and made an early morning post. And I had a mid-afternoon post. Maybe, what did I say? I think that post might have been about an hour or two, hour and a half or 2 hours before the game. But there was no excitement all day long. It wasn't like, and I mean, I actually did some things yesterday too. you know, went to the store, a couple things, did some other things, ran around a little bit. But it wasn't even while I was out or while I was doing the other things. It wasn't the urgency to say, oh, let me hurry up and get this done because I need to get back home, make sure I'm steady, make sure everything's right for the Super Bowl. It wasn't even that this year. It was like, all right, Super Bowl's at 6:30. Okay, I should be done everything that I need to do, and I'll just sit here and wait. So I binge-watched a lot of stuff yesterday. Well, not a lot, but I binge-watched a few things yesterday before the Super Bowl. And then, you know, I got to the Super Bowl. And I'm going to be brutally honest. I think I might have nodded off at one point because the game was like, it was just drawn out to me. Wasn't what I expected from those two teams that participated in yesterday's Super Bowl. Definitely was not what I expected. So, folks, there it is, your Super Bowl 58 recap from your boy, Sports Rap CEO, right here, Heat 100 Radio, live on Facebook, Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page, also on Instagram at Sports Rap CEO is the page, there is the handle there. I am going to take a quick break. When I return, we're going to get into some Sixers talk. You know, we had some trades. Trade deadline was last week. Some trades and some other moves that could be speculated. Some things that I heard through the grapevine. So, remember, come back. Instagram at SportsRapCEO. You'll get alerted when I go live. Also, you'll get alerted Facebook, SportsRap Podcast LLC, when I go live. So, stay tuned. Take a little break with me. Come back, and we're going to talk some Sixers on the second half. Peace. All right, y'all. Good people, good people, good people. What it do, what it do, what it do. It's your boy, Sports Rap CEO, right back at you. You know where I'm at. Y'all know, I don't know why I tell y'all every morning, but y'all know where I'm at. Sports Rap CEO on Instagram. You know that handle. Facebook, Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page right there. So when I left you all, we left off and we were talking Super Bowl, the game, the commercials, and the halftime show. The usual stuff that we talk about during the Super Bowl. But we also mentioned, or I also mentioned, that wasn't a lot of hype this year. I don't know what that was about, but wasn't a lot of hype around the Super Bowl this year. Again, like I said, I usually am excited on that day. Start running around doing stuff. I get anxious and things. But yesterday was like a regular Sunday for me. It was like, all right, Super Bowl is at 6:30. I'll make sure I get everything done, and then I'll sit down and watch it. And that was not what I expected. Like I told y'all earlier, uncharacteristic activity from both sides. Not what I saw from what everybody was pegging as the juggernaut of an offense from the 49ers. Didn't see that a lot yesterday. We also didn't see until the last drive what we typically see from the Kansas City Chiefs. For the most part yesterday. But it is what it is. Super Bowl 58 is in the books. The Chiefs, first team in 20 years to repeat as Super Bowl champions, taking the 25-22 win back to KC with the Lombardi Trophy over San Francisco 49ers. There's also some stuff floating around on the internet, and I kind of omitted this because I'm not that type of dude. But I got to get it off my chest. Deebo Samuel. Nothing personal from me, and it just takes me back to last year's championship game. And I still haven't gotten an answer to that question I asked, and I only asked one question from last year's NFC championship game. And I get Deebo, if we didn't have our quarterback. If we had our quarterback, it would be different. Totally understand that. The only question I asked was that the Eagles' fault that your quarterback got hurt on a football play nonetheless? In that game, everybody kept saying, well, if Brock, I said, but the point is, he didn't play, and your coaching staff did not prepare you properly for that situation if that situation arose and such it did. So, again, I said, was it the Eagles' fault that on a football play, a legit football play, Brock Purdy got hurt and could not finish the game. We know injuries happen in football, so was it the Eagles' fault? Still haven't gotten an answer to that question, but probably won't. Especially, I'm sure I won't now since the 49ers went to the Super Bowl this year and they lost. But the Deebo Samuels issue was him and going back and forth with the Eagles and some of the Eagles players. And I think right now Fletcher Cox has the upper hand. And you can go search social media and see what Fletcher Cox said. But one of the things I did like, and I said that I would not really dwell on it, but Fletcher Cox did mention to Deebo that he has something that Deebo does not have. Y'all can figure that out on your own. Look it up, Google it, read between the lines, do whatever you want. I'm not going to tell y'all. Y'all should know, but that's that. So, moving along. We are on the second half of the show today. And I got my Sixers hat on, same hat I got in the picture behind me. You know that. But listen, the Sixers went into the trade deadline. And believe it or not, I was in a lot of conversations, got some phone calls and some messages going up until last Thursday. What are the Sixers going to do? We going to make a move. What's this going to happen? Is this going to happen? Whatever, whatever, whatever. At the time going into the trade down, the only trade deadline, the only thing that I was absolutely sure of at that particular moment was the fact that Kyle Lowry would more than likely be joining the 76ers. After his buyout from the Hornets, because that was one trade that I had heard about before the Sixers even made a trade, and it was one of him going to the Hornets for Terry Rozier. When I heard that trade, I saw that the first thing I said was, how long is it going to take before buyout happens? It happened rather quick, and people say, well, why did you say that? I said, because I've been a basketball fan for a long time. I somewhat understand the business. I've been around some of the players, so I understand the nature of some of the players, even some of the newer players. But Kyle Lowry is a Philly kid. I've known Kyle Lowry, followed his career from high school all the way through to the pros. And the situation he was in Miami might not have been the best, might not have been what he thought it was going to be, but it was still a better situation than Charlotte. And when you get moved from a Miami to a Charlotte at the stage of your career where Kyle is, even if he didn't sign with the Sixers, he was going to go sign with another contender. All right. It's just that simple because that's where he's at in his career. That's where the stage he's at. He won a championship. He was on a winning team and he goes to Charlotte. And like, you know, he could have been went to Charlotte and been the man, but like he's 38. You're not going to get that. You shouldn't expect that from him. And this is what I told people when I said, yo, this move is going to happen. And I said, it's a lot of good to it. And people, every time something like this happens, especially here in the city, in Philly, everybody immediately goes to the negative, to the bad. He's too old. Why are we going to do this? We don't need him to do. Hear me out, people. Understand the game of basketball. Understand where the Sixers are right now, all right? And you remember, in the beginning, I told you, before we started talking about trades, I told you the Sixers needed a backup point guard that could be a point guard that could score. I also told you they needed a backup center, and I still think they need a backup center. So there may be some more moves coming in the buyout market, all right? But Kyle Lowry fits what I said the Sixers need. Campaign was a great addition. You got rid of Pat Bev. Didn't like that move. Got rid of some toughness. You got rid of Mook, Philly's own Marcus Morris, senior. Some more toughness you got rid of. But I hear rumors that he might get bought out, so there's a chance that he may come back in a buyout situation as well. So there's a bunch of names on the buyout market possibilities that the Sixers could look at. But the Kyle Lowry situation, you don't need him to play 25, 30 minutes a night. You don't need him to score 25, 30 points a night. He's going to bring some toughness. He will be able to run the team on the second unit. He can also be a scorer on that second unit. Okay? He also has deep playoff championship pedigree that he can bring to the table. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the coach he won a championship with, what's that dude's name? Is somebody Nick something? Nick Nurse. Yeah, that's him. Who was the current head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. So it could work. And for the Sixers, it could ultimately be a win-win depending on how far they go in the playoffs, because you're only signing him for the remainder of the season. Then you have options. You can either re-sign him again, or he can go elsewhere and do what to finish his career or retire or whatever. But a player like that, with the situation the Sixers are in, with the coaching staff the Sixers have, business-wise, you have to kick the tires. You have to. And again, like I said, you're not looking for him to come in here and play maxi minutes. You're not looking for him to give you 20, 25 points a night, like I said. He's going to bring a little bit of toughness. He's going to bring some leadership. He's going to bring some championship pedigree into that locker room and on that bench. Something that the Sixers need, especially with the shakeups that just happened. It's weird because, for me, because the players that got moved, the Patrick Beverley, the Daniel House, Marcus Morris, were starting to find their way in the rotation. They were starting to be intricate parts of this Sixers team. Changes were made. Hopefully these changes were made for the better. I like the Buddy Hield move because it adds the shooting. The two games that I've seen so far with Buddy Hield, in my opinion, made Paul Reed look a little bit better. But again, you all know where I'm at with Paul Reed. We still need a center because Paul Reed and Mo Bamba are not it right now to carry us through in the event that Joel can't come back as we expect him to, or at the level that we expect him to, the level that we've seen all season long so far. So you need that backup center still. Funny, Korkmaz, I'm okay with losing Korkmaz. I understand Daniel House and Patrick Beverley were the money decisions in order for them to bring in Kyle Lowry. So, you think about it, and you look at what the Sixers roster looks like, and as far as the depth chart, without the injuries in it. So, Joel Embiid is in here, all right? So, the rotation for the small forwards. First name that I give you would be typically the starter. So it's Nick Batum, Kelly Oubre Jr., and KJ Martin. At the power forward, you got Tobias Harris, Robert Covington, Kenneth Lofton Jr. on a two-way contract. At center, you got the big fella, Paul Reed, and Mo Bamba. At shooting guard, you got Buddy Hield, newly acquired, De'Anthony Melton whenever he gets healthy, and Ricky Council the fourth. At the point guard, you go with Tyrese Maxey as your starter, Kyle Lowry as number two, Campaign, and then Tre'Kavion Smith on another two-way. So, not bad of a roster. I think we need to get some people healthy. De'Anthony Melton's been out for a while. Good afternoon to you, Cuzzo. Thanks for tuning in. Let's see, I got some people here. Ryder, I am. Thanks for tuning in. Rasul215, thanks for tuning in. Sam Bones, thanks for tuning in this morning. Sam Bones, 30th Street. Let me make that correct. I wave to both of y'all and wave to my cousin in the morning this afternoon. So, again, looking at this roster, I'm not truly upset with the roster. I think the roster can be workable with the coaching staff that is currently involved with the Sixers right now. But we got to get De'Anthony Melton back into the flow, into the mix. Got to get Robert Covington into the mix. And I know people are going to cringe because I said get Robert Covington back into the mix. But you think about while he was here and you automatically go into that process. So it was just one of those times where the Sixers were basically filling holes. And then Robert Covington filled the hole, and then he got paid. Because there was nothing else here. We knew what the situation was. They weren't going to go and look for anybody. They were going to do it within. Hire within, as they like to say. So that's what they did with Robert Covington, and he got paid. Then he ultimately got traded and whatever, and now he's got traded back. But the things that he gives you are things that are usable. Things that can be used in conjunction with this roster. They call him the 3-and-D guy. He can shoot the three. He does play solid defense. It's what you need on the wings moving forward into the playoffs. And he has the size. Some things that the Sixers have not had consistently in a few years. De'Anthony Melton, again, another defensive player who worked on his offense, who can give you some offense from time to time. But we need to get him back into the mix. He needs to get healthy. And then again, like I said, ultimately, we need to get a backup center. I told you all how I feel. You all know how I feel about Paul Reed. Paul Reed, in my opinion, is just a basketball player. Hence, I say he has the perfect nickname as B-Ball Paul. Because to even with today's NBA game being what they like to say, positionless basketball, Joel Embiid, Jokic, few other centers around the league that can play on the low post, some power forwards that can play on the low block and give you some work down there in the paint. It's not where Paul Reed's forte is. Paul Reed, in my opinion, is your energy guy. He'll come in and you let him go. You let him play basketball. And when it starts to sour, when it starts to look like it's going left, you know you got your good guy that you can put back in that's had his breath and got his wind back to get back in there and do what you need him to do. You cannot expect to go into the playoffs, even with Joel Embiid healthy, as solely Paul Reed and Mo Bamba as your backups. Mo Bamba at times looks like he doesn't know what the hell is going on out there on the court. But he's got the size. He does play. When he has the advantage to play, he does show you some moments. But the problem is he doesn't show you enough right now where he's solidly cracking that rotation. Paul Reed, more so the energy guy. Paul Reed is a little bit more athletic than Mo Bamba, so that gives him an edge with a team that likes to shoot the threes, that's going to be liking to spread it out and get up and down the court. So that's where Paul Reed fits in a little bit better. But again, there's no specific position that you could say Paul Reed is. He's not big enough to be a legit five. He's not big enough really to be a four, a solid four. And he doesn't shoot the ball well enough to be that three. This is where I hope that somehow, someway, even though he would be a small five, I feel like you could play that, him at the small five with Paul Reed or with Mo Bamba, and that's one Marcus Morris. If he gets bought out by the Spurs, you can look at bringing him back as well. And those are some of the rumors that I've heard in the last few days or since yesterday and early this morning, that there is some talk about a possibility of Marcus Morris being bought out and being looked at again and being brought back to Philadelphia 76ers, which I think would have been a good move. In that trade where he was moved, I felt like the Sixers could have probably offered maybe KJ Martin or somebody else. But, you know, you have, and when you have those deals and you make those trades, you have to do what some of the other times you have to go with the other team is requesting. You have to try and fill that to make the needs, to meet your needs and help things go through. And sometimes players get lumped in because of contract situations where the money has to be matched or as close as possible to make deals go through. So, folks, you heard me say it. You heard me talk about it. Super Bowl, and we had some Sixers talk. So it was a great Monday, 12:20 in the afternoon. It's a nice day today. Get out and get you some of that sunshine. Go out and get you some sunshine today. You know, it's Monday, first day of the week. As I say, be great on purpose. As always, you know where to find me, at Sports Rap CEO on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page on Facebook. You know that's where you can get me there. And like I was saying, you heard Simply Monica back in the building earlier this morning. I caught her before she left out. Tickets, giveaways, stay tuned. We gave away some tickets for Daily this morning. Got some shows coming up at the City Winery. Go check the list. And stay tuned to Heat 100 Radio and stay tuned to me Sports Rap CEO. And stay tuned to Simply Monica at SimplyMonica72 on Instagram and get your chance to win some tickets. Again, folks, make sure you are tuned in. Make sure you're locked in. We got some things coming up. The Heat 100 Radio, some big things coming up. So you got to be tuned in to be privy to all that information. Also, we are looking for more shows, okay? Radio station, if you have a radio show, we are also branching out and having a podcast network. So if you got a podcast, you got a voice like I'm doing right now, you can get your own podcast, okay? We will coach you up to get you where you need to be. So no frets, no worries, do not be nervous. But we also have to let you know up front that there is a fee. And when you DM, you will get the particulars on the fee. But there is a fee to do this. But just know, you follow me, you see where I am. Just know that you will have the tutelage. You will have the training behind you to get you where you need to be. But none of that comes at a cost. None of that comes for free, rather. It all comes as a cost. So we're taking our time to get you where you need to be. You should want to invest in yourself. So again, you can DM me on Facebook at Sports Rap Podcast LLC. You can DM me on Instagram at Sports Rap CEO. Serious inquiries only, okay? And remember, there is a fee. And the first time you reach out to me, I will let you know what the fees are. And then we can go from there. But again, you have to invest in yourself if you want to do something. You got a voice. Don't sit on it. Don't waste it. If you have it, do what you need to do. Invest in yourself. And folks, I will see y'all next week, all week on social media. Again, all of my info at Sports Rap CEO, Instagram, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it now, TikTok and Threads, Facebook, Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page there. You can also get the webpage, sportsrapradio.com. Also, video will go up later this week on YouTube, Sports Rap TV. Just make sure you get there. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the thumbs up on the videos that you like and then hit that bell so you will be alerted when new content is uploaded. Also, audio, iHeartRadio, Apple, Google Podcasts, and Spreaker, and Spotify. Again, get out there, get some of the sunshine. Supposed to get some snow flurries tomorrow. But y'all knew that. It's still February. Winter's not over yet. But anyway, get you some sunshine today. Again, be great on purpose. Talk to y'all all week on social media. Right back here next Monday, 11 a.m. Peace.